And it's 2 a.m. in the morning, and welcome back. Chuck Swirsky, Tyler Feringel is our producer. We're on the air until 5, then Dustin comes by. All the scores of all the games in the National Football League. You know what I love when they play on the clips, when you go to your smartphone with all the AI, and they've got the Monday night, the old Monday night football games, and they got the features. And Howard Cosell, now for the Gen generation and X generation or Y generation or whatever you want to call it, in my generation, it was Howard Cosell with the highlights because we didn't have ESPN. So if you wanted to watch a highlight, and I'm living in Seattle, we didn't have the Seahawks. So if we didn't get the Bears and the Colts, maybe, you know, Baltimore against the Bears occasionally. But if you wanted to watch the highlights, you watch Monday Night Football at halftime. And Howard Cosell would ad lib like 6 or 7 games. And right there, there is Lenny Moore and Moore from Unitas, and the Colts lead the Bears. But then, Dick Butkus. Butkus. I mean, it was fantastic, and I love that stuff. Did you know, Tyler, by the way, before we get to calls, you're way too young, but I think today's birthday is Abe Gibron, the former head coach of the Chicago Bears in the early 70s. And Abe was very, very close with George Halas. Obviously, he was a coach under George Halas. And have you ever seen the movie Brian's Song about the relationship Brian Piccolo had with Gale Sayers? It was a beautifully done movie. I mean, you're talking about James Caan. You're talking about Billy D. Williams. It was a great, great movie.
Yes.
And so, you know, Abe Gibron was in that movie. Like, he played a role in that movie.
Abe Gibron, actually, his birthday was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Technically, now yesterday, the 22nd. It still feels like we're on Sunday, because I'm not used to these, you know, early morning hours. But yeah, Abe Gibron, September 22nd was his birthday.
Okay.
Rest in peace.
Yes, absolutely. He was a character. They, on NFL Films, they show Abe, and he was on the field, and he was singing a song by Three Dog Night. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. And you have this NFL head coach singing Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. 312-644.
I always like when you reminisce to the past, Chuck. I like hearing stories.
You know, I love history. It's not that I live in the past, because I live for today. Because
I just like hearing you reminisce about the past.
Oh.
I like hearing that.
Well, okay, I'll give you one more story and then
Please.
We'll move on. So I'm 25 years old. I come to Chicago. I'm completely overwhelmed. I had no business being in this market, but someone took a chance on me, and I made the most of it. Thank God. And I appreciate the people who believed in me when others did not. So I don't know anyone. And I go to cover the Bears, and I go to the press box. They had the PR director was a guy by the name of Ted Harris, and he was very kind to me, and he knew that I didn't know anybody. And the head coach was Neil Armstrong, and Neil Armstrong was terrific, low-key guy, you know, just a football coach, simple as that. He was an assistant at Minnesota. Jim Finks brought him in to coach the Bears. And so we had a good professional relationship. Jim Finks was awesome. Jim Finks was the general manager. So he says, Chuck, I want you to come over and I'll introduce some people to you at the Bears office. So I said, okay. So, you know, I'm meeting secretaries, PR people, so on and so forth. He says, I want you to meet George. I didn't know who he met when he said George. George who? So we walk down the hall, and we walk into the office, and there is George Papa Bear Halas. And he's sitting behind the desk. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. And I mean, even if you were not living in Chicago, raised in Chicago, or a huge Bears fan, and I love the Bears growing up because of Sayers and because of Butkus, but you walk into the office of George Halas and you feel like, you know, like you're going to run into St. Peter any day. You've reached the highest point. And so he was really nice. And Jim Finks introduced myself to him, and he was great. And then in that same year, in 1979, George Halas's son, who was essentially running the Bears, passed away suddenly. This was, I believe, maybe November, December of 79, and he died suddenly, and it just threw everyone for a loop, as one would think. This would have been Virginia McCaskey's brother. And so, anyway, but I love Virginia McCaskey, and I know a lot of people are down on the Bears. All I can say is they have provided the Bears with everything. I mean, regardless of what people think about the stadium, I'm not getting into that because that's way above what I know and don't know, because I really don't know anything about that. But I do know that their facilities at Lake Forest are great. So let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Andrew from Rockford, how are you? Andrew, are you there? Andrew, we're giving you one more chance. Andrew, are you there? Okay, let's go to Jim from Maywood at 312-644-6767. Hello, Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I ain't going to take up a whole lot of time. I already said we know that our offensive line is horrible except for Tevin Jenkins. But also, the problem is, too, we were disappointed with the offensive coordinator last year, and this offensive coordinator isn't showing me a whole lot either. When you get know your guys is whiffing on blocks and you can't block nobody and you throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage like you did today and you throw the ball in the backfield three times to DJ Moore for a loss and you keep trying to run the same play, something tells me this offensive coordinator don't get it. Yep. I'm going to let y'all go ahead.
No. That's all I had to say. I want to talk to you for a second. So okay. I do agree. But what are you going to do here? I mean, don't you think that the GM or the head coach and the offensive coordinator need to have a little meeting here?
Somebody.
All right.
I already know Ryan Poles tried to sign that all-pro center from Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, and he wouldn't sign the deal because he know that offensive line is horrible.
Well, maybe it also came down to money, don't you think?
Well, I guess so. Maybe that's why he wouldn't sign.
All right. Thank you for the call.
But all these offensive weapons we got, if we can't block for the run or the pass, it ain't going to do us no good.
Nope. Listen.
So if they can't get no free agent, they're going to have to get these big boys from Alabama and LSU in the draft this year or something.
Yep.
Because they need help.
Well, I think that's probably going to be the number one priority on this football team is the offensive line. I can see Ryan Poles go big on draft day, on those 2 days, for offensive linemen. No doubt about it.
Yeah,
no question.
He's going to have to, because Tevin Jenkins can't block everybody.
Nope. And Nate Davis, it's a challenge. So thank
right.
you. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And last week, I reached out to our fans. We were talking about, the upcoming game with the Colts. And I said, listen, if the Bears lose to the Colts, I'm buying donuts for the staff here at 670 The Score on Monday, which I will do. Because, I mean, if you're going to make that statement, you have to pony up, which I do. And I get it. But, I'm wondering, should I put together, because I love donuts. I have a sweet tooth, and I love donuts, and I love cupcakes. And so for donuts, I'm trying to decide where to get donuts. Do I go the convenient route and get Dunkin' Donuts? Do I go to Do Right? Do I go to Stan's? Do I go to Krispy Kreme? I got decisions to make. By the way, if you want great cupcakes, I'm telling you right now, Molly's on Illinois, downtown Chicago, the best. I mean, if it sounds like an endorsement, it is. And I know a thing or two about cupcakes because I love cupcakes. Pie, not so big on pie. Cake, not so big on cake. But donuts, cupcakes, yes. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We want to hear from you. We want to know your gut opinion about the 2024 Chicago Bears. Because, you know, the bottom line is you've got some winnable games coming up, and you can't afford to lose games to the Colts. You've got the Rams, you got Carolina, you got Jacksonville, and on the road, you got Washington. And I'm not sure how good Washington is, but on the road, who knows? But these three games coming up, Rams, Carolina, Jacksonville, you got to take two or three, period. Terry from Janesville, Wisconsin, you're on 670 The Score.
Well, good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
You know, I'm out working right now.
You're out working. What are you doing?
I listened the last couple of weeks. I'm out delivering papers.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I was just listening, and you were talking about Abe Gibron.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm not sure what it would take, but in the past, Doug Buffon told a story about Abe Gibron at training camp in Rensselaer, Indiana, back in the day. And at the end of the day, practice was all over, and the dining hall was closed, and Abe was hungry. So Abe went out in the cornfield and was gnawing on ears of corn. But I can't tell it like Doug did. Doug told it, and you would be rolling. You'd be on the floor rolling. So I don't know if you can find that, but if you can, it would be a good comic relief for some of us not so happy about how the game went yesterday.
Yeah.
Today,
I appreciate that. You know, when I came to Chicago in 79, Doug was in the twilight of his career. That could have been his last year. Maybe he played in 1980. I'll have to check. But, I mean, Doug was a mainstay at this radio station. He loved the station, and the station loved him back. And we all had so much respect for Doug, what he accomplished on the football field, but more importantly, the fact he didn't big time anyone. I mean, you know, he was one of the guys. I work with a similar personality in Bill Wennington. Bill has three NBA championship rings. He was the number one pick by Dallas. He was an All-American at St. John's. And when you talk to Bill, he never big times you. It's like your next-door neighbor, you're just having a chat or a beverage with him, and people come up to him. He never turns down autographs, and he doesn't have an ego. He is great to work with. I'm very fortunate. And Doug Buffon was the same type of human being. So I'm glad you shared that story about Abe Gibron. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Speaking of donuts, I came across Derrick Henry's diet. Tyler, you know who Derrick Henry is, the running back from Baltimore?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think he's got a shot at the Hall of Fame, by the way.
I definitely think he does.
Anyway, here's his diet. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. He spends $250,000 a year on his health. $250,000. Now, let me tell you something. He's making millions, so probably $250,000. But still, $250,000 is $250,000. LeBron spends $1 million. A million. Russell Wilson spends $1 million on his health. He hasn't played it down yet, right? Fields is entrenched as the number one quarterback. So this is Derrick Henry's diet. No fried food. You a fried food kind of guy?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. The only type of fried food I have is Chick-fil-A. I'm addicted to Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. But not often, but sometimes.
Every now and then.
Let's see. No dairy.
That's a tough one.
Yep. Derrick Henry, no dairy, no fried food, no gluten.
Another tough one, wow.
Yep. No artificial sugars, so I guess donuts are out the window. doesn't eat till 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. during the season. What's up with that?
Crazy for someone that big. You think he'd eat like a machine, like, because obviously the metabolism for someone that big. I did catch this little part too in the Fox broadcast today. They said he only has a banana or an avocado
before practice,
right before practice. Like, how does a guy that big,
I don't know,
only eat that little?
I don't know. Wow. 312-644-6767. Here's another question for the fans. Who is your favorite Bear right now? Who is your favorite Bear? And also, regarding jerseys. See, I mean, I'm 70 years old. I'm 70. And people say, Chuck, you're not 17. You're a 70-year-old man. Why are you wearing a jersey? Because I'm a fan. I don't care about age. I mean, and listen, if I can afford to buy a jersey and I like a certain player, I'm going to buy a jersey. I bought a Connor Bedard jersey with the Blackhawks. Now, do I wear it around the house? No. But, you know, when the Blackhawks are on and I'm wearing it, maybe I wear the jersey. I'm thinking it's going to bring the Blackhawks good luck. Now, do I wear a Bulls jersey when I'm broadcasting a game? Of course not. But on Bears Sunday, am I watching the Bears? I put the Caleb Williams jersey on. I have no problem. People are so hung up on, oh, he's a grown man. What's he doing wearing a jersey? So what? Big deal. If a guy wants to wear a jersey or a woman, let them wear it. You feeling it?
Oh, absolutely. Quick question for you on the jersey here, Chuck. Would you have kept that? I'm assuming it's a Caleb Williams jersey, the same one you wore a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Would you have worn that jersey tonight if had they won this game?
Yes.
Love it. That's what I like to hear.
But I mean, I'm a fan regardless.
Oh, sure.
But I mean, I'm not feeling the orange jerseys, to be honest with you. I mean, I like the blue and the white. I do want the Bears to wear an all-white uniform with a white helmet. Ice white would be great.
Do you like those? So a couple years ago when they had their 100th season, they had those classic jerseys. Yes. The helmets sort of look like the Michigan Wolverines.
Yes.
You like those jerseys?
I do like the jerseys. The helmet wasn't really sold on the helmet, but I like the jerseys.
How about the socks with the
I love the
colors.
Socks.
It gives old school off. And when you're throwing back to that far away, you got to throw something out there. Now, the Packers jerseys, ugly. Very, very ugly. But the Bears did it right, I think.
The pitcher that we were talking about with the Cubs.
Ebanaga. Yes.
Ebanaga. And so, like, he wears Cub socks.
Yeah, the really long ones.
You can see the logo.
Yes.
I'm into that. I like it.
He's very eccentric, and that's what I like. With these other players, too, kind of be you. Don't afraid to be eccentric and be you. Well, like Caleb Williams with his paint. Everyone wants to hand him Caleb painting his nails.
I don't care.
Chuck, I said before the season, if the Bears, it could be this year, it could be any other year, I will paint my nails. If Caleb Williams leads the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl.
I think that's great. And you know what? I go to a nail salon. I get my nails. I can't cut my nails. I can't. So I get my nails done. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm a grown man. And if I want my fingers, you know, and to look all right, I've got to get them done by a professional. I'm not a professional.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I cut up and I tear up the top of the skin of my fingers. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to a professional and they're going to cut my nails and they're going to make sure that everything's good. So what? I think people are so hung up on this. But who's your favorite Bear? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. I mean, you go right now on Bear Sunday at home, like, let's see, was it the opener? It was the opener. And, I mean, you walk around the city, you saw a ton of Caleb Williams jerseys. You saw, of course, Walter Payton jerseys.
Dick Butkus.
Butkus jerseys. And I think that's probably, what do you think, Tyler? That would, other than Caleb Williams, who would be the number two jersey right now with the Bears? I'm trying to think. The second highest rated jersey sold with the Bears would be whom?
That's a good question, honestly. And to answer your question about, I have to think about favorite Bear for right now. Maybe Brian Urlacher?
That's no, I'm talking about the current
right now.
Bears.
Okay, well, Caleb Williams for sure. I feel like would be number one. DJ Moore. He's been here a whole year. He put up a really good season. Yep. I could see DJ Moore being.
Yeah, he's and plus I think he's a long term Bear. I can see him being here 6-7 more years.
Oh, for well, yeah. I mean, and his contract and his already contract. Takes him up through I think 2027, 2028. Yep. So he's here until he's in his early 30s, which is fantastic. Maybe I don't see a lot of Jalen Johnson, and Jalen Johnson I still doesn't. Think get the respect that he deserves, but I'd like to see more of him because he kind of replicates that mean, nasty Chicago Bears defensive player that could be here, to your point about DJ Moore, 15-ish years, and he got drafted here, so that I think that means a lot for him, too, to kind of carry that torch of that next feared Chicago Bears defensive player.
I agree. I think Johnson is a terrific, terrific player. But I'm thinking past Williams, Odunze might be right up there as far as if people want to get early on that player. But certainly Caleb Williams. I mean, he's the number one. I believe he's number one in the NFL with a jersey with sales. So, again, Caleb Williams threw for 335 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did throw 2 interceptions, 3 sacks, however. And Caleb Williams was terrific, and really the growth of Caleb Williams from week 3 to 2 and 2 to 1, it's coming, folks, but he's got to get some help. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Greg from Rogers Park. Greg, how you doing? Greg, are you with us right here on 670 The Score?
Hi, Chuck. Good morning. First of all, Chuck, thank you for everything you've done for the city over the years as a broadcaster, play-by-play. You really are a treasure in our city and our community, and just thank you for all your service and time. God bless you.
Thank you.
Montez Sweat is my favorite Bear.
Oh, good call.
I think that right now teams are starting to double team him more, so that's why he's not as effective as he was last year. But I think this guy really comes to work with his lunch bucket. He works hard. I think he really, really is a good leader. And I think he's really, I'm glad they signed him and kept him after the trade. I also think, too, that the Bears need to really look at getting a regular, not turning a guard into a center, but maybe next year drafting a genuine center that can work with Caleb Williams and, you know, kind of like how Owen Krutz type or a Hilgenberg or a Fontenot. Or Garza, those type of players, yeah.
I think that's a great call. Absolutely a great call. And I love what you had to say about Montez, because I think he has brought a different attitude and impact to the Chicago Bears. And, you know, when Washington wanted to make trades, and the Bears gave up, what, a second-round pick for him?
I think so, yes.
So they give up a second-round pick, and you know what? We got to ask Tyler to do some research on that. I want to know who the who Washington drafted in the second round for Montez. But whatever it is, I mean, he signed for a 4-year deal. He got $72 million, I believe, guaranteed money. I mean, it was announced that he got like 4 years for $100 million, but it was really, I think, like 70, 72, whatever it was. And guaranteed money, and that ultimately is the bottom line, is how much guaranteed money. And so I'd like to know, you know what, Tyler, can you find out who the Washington drafted with the Bears second-round pick in 24? Who was that player?
Yes, yes, I actually have that right here, Chuck. It's, well, I guess a local guy, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yes. Or he, I guess he goes by Johnny as well. But, yeah, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois.
You know, I haven't seen Washington play at all. It's not like I say, hey, Washington's on. Although they're playing tonight, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, the second game of the doubleheader against at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. So I'll have to look for him. I don't even know if he's playing, if he's hurt, if he's... done a good job.
I don't know if he's a starter yet, but obviously Washington gave away a lot of their defensive pieces, so I'm sure he's going to fit in their rotation. He very well may be a starter. I'm not a Commanders watcher either, but I'm sure he does fit into that rotation, given the fact that they got rid of Sweat and I'm blanking out on Chase Young last year.
Yes, and Chase Young went to San Francisco, and then but the 49ers let him go, right?
Correct. He signed with the Saints.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Greg, thank you.
Chuck,
yes, sir.
Hey, Chuck, real quick.
Yes.
I wore my Bob Evelini jersey today.
You did? Bob Evelini from the University of Maryland.
Bob gave me a game jersey a while back before he passed on.
Yeah. Well, God bless his soul. He was great. I love Bob. We had a really good relationship as far as reporter and quarterback. Bob was a fantastic high school player in Long Island, New York. He went to the University of Maryland and got drafted by the Bears. And, you know, he had an interesting relationship with Mike Ditka. But Bob, you know,
he won the Ice Bowl in the New York against the Giants.
He
drove him down, and then Bob Thomas kicked that winning field goal.
That's correct. You have a great memory. And Bob passed away at you know, he faced a lot of challenges personally, but I wish him well. I wish his family well. Rest in peace for Bob Evelini. Thank you. Leaving one line open at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. And the score overnight continues at 2:31 in the morning. We're on the air until 5. Then we got Dustin, and then we got Mullion Hall. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We got lines open, 312-644-6767. Ole Cruz with Mullion Hall. They're going to dissect that Bears offensive line. Oh, my gosh. And then at 8 o'clock, DJ Moore with Mullion Hall. Another terrific outing for DJ Moore. As a matter of fact, I mean, with Caleb Williams throwing for 335 yards, I mean, he spread the wealth. I mean, let's see, DJ Moore, 8 receptions, 78 yards. Cole Kmet, 10 receptions, 97 yards. You know, I am so glad this offensive coordinator, maybe he was listening to our show after the Houston game, because they got back like at 2, 3 in the morning. Maybe he had the radio set to 670 The Score, and he heard me, the Swirsk, say, "Where is Cole Kmet? Where is Cole Kmet? Please, I want more Cole Kmet."
I saw a lot of people complain about, too. I know people were exaggerating. Does Shane Waldron hate Cole Kmet? Why is Cole Kmet not involved more in the offense? But to your point, a lot of, and I think the CBS crew even brought it up, Tiki Barber, I'm blanking, of course, Tiki Barber, I believe Jason McCourty and Andrew Catalan, he was really finding a groove with Cole Kmet up the middle.
Yep.
They're not accounting for him there. And Caleb Williams, we saw it in the Houston game, Chuck. He was taking what the defense was giving him, which was a lot of short plays. There were a little bit more looks downfield that he was being given. And he did miss some throws, but for the most part, he was pretty accurate, I would say.
Yes.
He did have his mistakes, but to your point, he's a rookie.
Yes.
He's going to make mistakes.
He is going to be a great, great player. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Chris on 670 The Score. Chris, welcome.
Well, thank you, Chuck. How are you, sir?
I'm feeling good because I get to talk with people like you, Chris, and I love being on the air, but I'm frustrated as a Bears fan. But there is hope, because they've got the Rams coming up, they got the Panthers, and then they got Jacksonville, and the Bears should win, hopefully all three, but definitely two of the three, because if the Bears lose two of these next three games, I'm very, very concerned.
Well, you should be, because we should not overlook anybody right now, because this entire coaching staff does not know what they're doing. We have now learned that they do not know what they're doing. As Dan Bernstein said, powdered toast man. This man does not know how to coach. Look at Fields. Fields is taking over Pittsburgh. That guy should have been our guy. We should have sat Caleb, sit him down, let him see behind this, let him see what's going on. But no, no, no. We went with the golden child. Jesus is wearing his sandals.
No, whoa. No, Chris.
Okay,
the Bears made the right move. The Bears made the right move getting Caleb Williams.
Not yet. Well, they made the right move. Let me tell you what. Yeah.
This is not about Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wish him well.
He is now.
I hope he, yeah, and I wish him well.
He's doing quite well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is doing well, and that's great. I'm not making comparisons with Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. I am glad Justin Fields is a member of the Chicago Bears. I don't care.
But don't you think Justin Fields was a good quarterback for the Bears that we should not have dumped
him away? Like Justin Fields, but what they determined, and I understand and agree, that if you've got a shot at Caleb Williams, you take him. And I really don't care what other people think.
Of course you take him.
Of course you take Caleb Williams, Chuck.
I get that.
You're telling me you're going to have Justin Fields as your starter, and you're going to use Caleb Williams. You're going to sit him his rookie year as the number one overall pick. Are you crazy?
No. Why not? You've seen it happen many a time. I'll tell you right now. You've seen this. You've seen some of the best.
Well, I mean, we've just seen
have sat.
Okay,
correct.
Well, we're seeing it unfold with Carolina, but that young man is much different with his skill set than Caleb Williams.
Well, okay,
he should never have been the number one overall pick.
Well, what's happening down there is the same thing that's happening in Chicago.
No, it's not. Bad coaching. But there's a reason for that, and that's because the owner meddles. The owner doesn't meddle with this.
Because he doesn't want to invest in him. He doesn't want to invest in the team. I understand that. But
no, the owner made the call to pick up Bryce Young. That was the owner's call, not football people.
I'll agree with you on that. But can you not say to me that we do not have good coaching here in Chicago?
I would say right now you have to take a long, hard look at the decision-making, how they select assistant coaches, and ultimately everything falls on the head coach, period.
Okay, there you go. I'll follow your line of logic on that. I'll agree with you on that. But I will say to you this. We saw it last time, and we've seen it. Fields couldn't play the system, didn't understand it, didn't get it. He seems to be doing quite well in Pittsburgh. Now we got the kid here. The kid is fantastic. I don't have any problem with that. But we're not hitting our plays. Our offensive coordinator is not calling right plays. The caller before me said the same thing. Why are we throwing plays into the backfield? We're throwing the ball downfield. Rome is pulling up on some catches. He should be going for them. He hears footsteps. He's not really ready. We're not playing well. We got a superstar quarterback, granted, but we have to get into a mode to get this team going. And we're just not doing it. I don't understand it. I mean, can you explain it to me?
Yeah, I can. And the fact is, their offensive line has not arrived by any stretch of the imagination. Their play calling is very, very puzzling. And again, you're dealing with a rookie quarterback. So there, I hope I helped you out. I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. And good morning to all the fine folks in Wisconsin. Let's go to Mary from Niles on 670 The Score at 312-644-6767. If you want to get into a little scrap here, I'm ready. I'll pull up my sleeves. You want to mix it up? I'll mix it up with you, because I'll tell you what, I'm not backing down. Caleb Williams is not the problem for the Bears. You want to take a microscope and you can look at the offensive coordinator. You can look at the dysfunction, especially what happened after the Bears scored and the coaching staff is not on the same page whether to go for a 2-point or a 1-point, and they had to burn a timeout. How can that happen? That shouldn't happen. Why are you running an option on 4th and a foot? Anyway, that is the issue. And yet, having said all that, it was the third game of the year. It was a bad loss, a very bad loss to a mediocre Colts team with a quarterback that is not ready to play, period. And so now you've got the Bears with a 1-2 record. They're entertaining the Rams at Soldier Field. Noon kickoff Sunday. The Bears are going to win that football game, even though the Rams rallied and they're banged up. And would you say, Tyler, I mean, you got two wide receivers out and for the Rams, and you got other players banged up, and they won't be back for the Bears game either.
Yeah, so really, Matthew, if you watch the Rams a little bit, I've gotten to see the Rams play, obviously, the last few years. Matthew Stafford loves throwing a Cooper Kupp. Now he has Puka Nacua. They're both out. Week one going against Detroit, Chuck, they were already short a couple of offensive linemen, and that situation really hasn't gotten much better. As a matter of fact, the Bears' starting center was on the Rams last year.
Yes, he was.
He hasn't performed well, but the Bears got one of the Rams' starting offensive linemen. And I still believe that watching this game, they drafted Jared Verse in the first round out of Florida State, but he is not going to be in the middle of their defense. They are still recovering from one of the best defensive linemen of all time, Aaron Donald, retiring. And they pulled off a win against the 49ers yesterday. I was just about to say this past week. Yesterday. Were the 49ers banged up? Sure. But the 49ers are still the defending NFC champions. I still feel like the NFC runs through them. They should win this game, but it's not going to be challenging. They need to pull everything out from the kitchen sink in order to win this game. Sean McVay is a great coach. He makes do with what he has. Matthew Stafford can still clearly play at 36 years old. He can still sling the football. So are the Rams short pieces? Yes. But it's not going to be a walk in the park of a game for the Chicago Bears.
But the Bears should win this game.
They should win this game, but I don't think it's going to be like, you know, do I think it's going to be a blowout? I wish, but I don't think it will be. They need to play their A game in order for that to happen.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Mary, what's going on?
Yeah, hi there, Chuck. You know,
Mary, yes.
Yes, hi. You know, I love all your spunk and your get up and go for Caleb. You're a great person for him, and I hope he does turn out as good as you believe. Now, my point is this. I saw the preseason. He wasn't played a lot, but he didn't do too well, and he's starting the season off the same way. Now, one person that is always overlooked is Tyson Badgett. Now, you know more than I about his capabilities. However, I saw him last year. There was a huge improvement with him. I read an article about him. He's a real studier, a real hard worker. Now, I don't think this person in this article made all this up. I want to know why he's been ignored. He has a young Tom Bradyism about him. And you'll have to admit this, that if you don't have a quarterback who really leads the team precisely, Caleb Williams does not have precise throws. And that is going to kill the Bears. It's already killing them.
Well, again, it's three. I get it. It's game three, Mary.
You know what? Let me finish one comment here, please. You know, I know that I'm talking too much here, but you know what? The fans of Chicago have endured way too much grief. We've had a bad Bear team for 3 years plus before this year. They always ignore how many years they've been in the pooper. Then we have the White Sox, who are the pooper almost. We got the Cubs fanning out and the Blackhawks. Oh, my God. 3 years in a row, they don't talk about this, Chuck. We've had a sucking, I'll use another word if I can, sports teams representing lowly Illinois. We have one football team, and it's not good. We have no patience, Chuck. You want the fans to be patient? Don't ask. That's asking way too much. We want instant gratification.
So what you're saying is you're going to bench Caleb Williams for Bajan.
I would. I know. Laugh your head off.
I am laughing. I'm sorry. I respect your opinion. I disagree.
And a lot of class.
No, I'm not saying he's not a class guy. Don't put words in my mouth. I haven't said anything negatively about him, either as a person or professional.
No, you haven't.
I haven't.
But you have said a lot of good things about Caleb. But
yes, I have.
What do you think about Tyson?
I think he's a really good. I'll tell you what. Do I think he would start on some NFL teams? Yes. With this team, no. And I think the Bears are very fortunate that he is their second string quarterback. But do I think he's going to play over Caleb Williams? Absolutely not. Do I think he should? Absolutely not. I think he's there, and sooner or later, he will want to play and start for an NFL team. And the Bears are going to have to make a choice not to keep him, but where they want to trade him. Because sooner or later, it's not fair if he has starting quarterback skills for him to remain a backup. And he would be a very valuable piece for another NFL team. But for now, he's still a very young quarterback, a developing quarterback, and a quarterback that will back up Caleb Williams. He will not start for the Chicago Bears. The only way he starts a game is if Williams gets hurt.
Yeah, I said that too, and that's a shame, and I wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
But you know what? Let me ask you this, Chuck. Should not an expert quarterback that you really love to have study the professional league before you set foot, like he's here now? You would think he would study the Tom Brady. He would study Aaron Rodgers. He'd say,
these guys
almost probably call all the shots themselves. So if he was really, really that top-notch, he would get together, communicate with all of his players and say, you know how to pinpoint those throws, though. This I see as a weakness.
Yeah, but wait, Mary, I'm going to wrap things up and just say this. If you think Caleb Williams doesn't do homework, you're wrong. If you don't think Caleb Williams studies film, you're wrong. He does. He talks to people. Caleb Williams is well connected.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not talking about a guy who goes from practice to Taco Bell, and you know,
right.
I mean, this guy works hard. Caleb Williams is a bona fide big time player. So I thank you for the call. All right, thank you. 312.
Yeah, but you know what, Chuck? Let me just tell you, it doesn't look so good. It does not look good, Chuck.
Mary, it's three games. It's three games. Goodbye.
I'm
going. Goodbye. 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 Thank you. Three games. And you're burying the number one overall pick. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Adam from Chicago Ridge. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, Chuck. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Where are you off to, Adam? You going to work?
I'm headed home from work.
Oh, where do you work?
I work for RJW Warehouses. I do drive a forklift around most of the time.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm glad you have the radio on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was just calling. I think people are being way too short-leashed with Caleb. He's making throws that I don't think we can say we've seen a Bears quarterback in living memory, at least in my living memory, make before. He's drawing defenders into pass interference. He's throwing people open. He's reading defenses. I think his improvement from game one to now is already noticeable, and he's only going to get better. And I mean, really, he has 2.5 seconds to throw the ball most of the time.
Well, I mean, I would like to see the play call come in sooner so the Bears can get to the line of scrimmage faster, because I think that plays into the hands of Caleb Williams. This stuff about not getting the play call late, that's inexcusable. There are a lot of things this coaching staff needs to get together. And I like Eberflus. I don't know him, but I like the way he comes across. I think he treats players with respect and his men. But you know what? He's got to have a meeting, even with the GM in the room, with his offensive coordinator, so he can get on the same page. And, for that matter, the special teams coach, because that never should have happened, where they're confused about, do we go for two or do we go for one, and then they have to call a timeout. And I'll tell you what, that fourth and goal, a foot away from scoring, and they do the quarterback option, I'm calling him out. I'm calling him out in a meeting, not in front of the players, but I'll tell you what, I'm putting him in my office, and I'm letting them have it.
Yeah, I don't understand the play calls from Waldron. I hope it gets better. I hope he's just learning the new team he's got with him. But they've got too many weapons, and they were able to run the ball last year with this line, and now they can't. And it makes next to no sense.
That's correct. I mean, let me get these stats here, because the running was, they averaged 2.3 yards per carry. 2.3. How do you win a football game that way?
Not to mention the Colts gave up almost 300 yards rushing last week.
Yeah.
They couldn't crack.
So you're averaging 2.3 yards per carry. Your quarterback is sacked four times. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Or maybe I should get it. But thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. So you want to hear this stat, Tyler? How about this stat?
Yeah, bring
it to me. This is from a tweet. Robert Mays.
He comes on with the midday show every now and then.
He says, my favorite Bears stat of the season, per True Media Sports. Never heard of them, but True Media Sports. The Bears have turned 5 of their 59 second down plays in the first downs this season. Only 5 of 52 second down plays in the first downs. Okay? We're not talking third down here. We're talking second. So in other words, they're getting a little mojo, some momentum going. First, second, boom, we get another first. 8.5 conversion rate. 8.5%. That's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
They had...
No other team in the league is below 18.8, and that team is the Panthers.
Wow.
Can I read this one more time? Because when I first read it,
please.
I didn't believe it.
Please.
All right, this is True Media Sports. The Bears have turned 5 of their 59 second down plays in the first downs. A cool 8.5% conversion rate. No other team in the league is below 18.8, and that team, the Panthers. Wow. I'm at a loss for words. So the Bears today, 63 yards. Can you do me a favor while I take a call, Tyler? Who do we go? Tom from Algonquin? Is he next? Okay, so Tyler, while we're talking with Tom, can you do me a favor? Can you find out the stat coming into the ball game today, the rushing yards, the opponents against Indiana?
Yes, week one and week two.
Okay, let me know the average. But teams were averaging running the ball against the Colts.
Yes,
in the
yes.
first 2 weeks of the
yes,
season.
Yes, I will get that for you.
All right, thank you. All right, Tom from Algonquin, you're on 670 The Score, about 8 minutes before 3 a.m. We're with you until 5, then Mully and Haw. Go ahead.
Oh, Chuck, thank you for Tyler getting me in here.
Yes, sir.
And I certainly would like to just talk about the running game, of course. And... may I name a gentleman, Robert Montgomery?
Yep.
Yeah. I just thought he had a little bit of Walter in him. Of course, we all know Walter, and I would never put him on that plane. But people seem to discard running backs as like, oh, they're a dime a dozen or this or that. But this guy proved so much toughness and so much improvement and so much breaking talent, tackle ability, and a leader, and a humble running back. One of the
yeah, you're talking about David Montgomery.
Yes, David. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
David Montgomery. Yes.
All right. So so Montgomery, he spent what, 4 seasons with the Bears, right?
Yeah, and they didn't want to re-sign him.
So he had, I think, one of the 4 years, I know he went over 1,000 yards. I'm not sure he went over 1,000 yards the 3 other seasons, but he was.
Well,
he
let's
is
count
a
his
big,
catches, too,
but,
though.
But I'll
let's
tell you what, he's a big, big, powerful back. And, I mean, let me pull up his stats here. You got a second? Because, again, I don't have stats in front of me, so let me go here on the computer here. And so I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you.
Les Grabstein, you're not.
No, I am not Les Grabstein. Les is in another.
I miss him. I miss him dearly. He was a big part of my life as I was a regular scorehead. Yes. And to his wife, Kathy, just
absolutely.
He was phenomenal on his eulogy.
Yes. So so here, let me, and I agree with you about Les. We all love him and we all miss him. He was an institution icon. So his rookie year, let's see, his rookie year, David Montgomery played in 16 games, started 8, had 889 yards as a rookie. He averaged 3.7 yards per carry. He caught 25 passes. His second year in the league, 15 games, 14 starts, 1,070 yards. He averaged 4.3. He caught 54 passes for an average of 8.1. Very, very good season. His third year in the league, Montgomery, 13 games, 13 starts. His yards per carry dropped to 3.8. He was hurt
Can
that year.
Can I interrupt
year.
You for one second?
No.
You know how he got hurt?
No.
You know how he got hurt? Trying to make a play. Not a play on his part. Maybe it was a block. Maybe it was recovering someone else's fumble. It was something like that. It was a freakish injury. But okay. Okay.
He suffered a knee sprain in week 4 against Detroit. He went on the injured list, and he missed 4 to 5 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
So his last year with the Bears, he played and started 16 games, 4.0 rushing yards, 801 yards. He caught 34 passes for an average of 9.3. I mean, this guy was and remains with the Lions a power back. I mean,
he was getting stronger. I thought he was getting stronger. He had those injury setbacks, and he overcame them, and those are serious types of – and okay. So now I'm pointing fingers at balls, I guess. I'm just like, or maybe not. Maybe whoever decided it, we don't want to re-up someone. Or it's just like, not to change the subject, Shohei Ohtani. Oh, my goodness. What would he have done in this town? Unbelievable stuff there.
Yep. Well, again, I appreciate the call. 312-647 6767 644-6767 right here on 670 The Score. Let me just do this before a break. Tyler Farringle's going wacko on me. Tyler, hold on for just a second.
All good, Chuck.
I'm just trying to get David Montgomery's stats. He's 3 games, 51 carries, 231 yards, an average of 4.5. He's scored 3 touchdowns so far. And let's see, receiving, he has 8 receptions for 54 yards. I mean, he's a very multi-talented back. Did you see that play today where he just took it? I mean, the Cardinals couldn't stop him. He literally, like, took it from how many yards out into the end zone?
Oh.
And they did that push.
Oh yeah. Signature David Montgomery. I mean, I always remember when those 4 years he was here, every time he got the ball, you had a thought in the back of your mind, how many yards is he going to turn this play into when you can kind of see what it was going to? He never goes down on first contact, Chuck. The wheels are always turning. He always absorbs that initial hit. He always drags guys. He's a very, very powerful runner.
Yes, he is. I mean, the guy was unbelievable today. If people Google, there is a play. He ran for 106 yards today. But one of those plays, he just bulldozed his way, along with help from practically the entire offensive unit, into the end zone. And it was amazing. It really was.
Can I also say, too, to your research on Montgomery's stats, the fact that he's averaging 17 carries through the first 3 games for today's modern NFL running back, I think that's really good. And Chuck, they also have Jahmyr Gibbs, who is a freakish athlete. I know he's more of a passing down back or like a dual threat guy, but the fact that Montgomery is averaging 17 carries a game with the Lions with another starting caliber running back on that offense, I think that says something.
What do you think of Swift so far?
I think he's a good running back. I think it's offensive line.
Yeah,
that's honestly, like, I think he, yes, he's probably a little bit better as a dual threat, but I think he's been given no help from the offensive line.
I think he's a running back. He's not a receiver. He's a slot guy coming out of the backfield. And you're right. I really like him. I liked him with Detroit. I liked him with Philadelphia. I don't think the Bears wasted their money signing him. But again, it goes back to the offensive line. We're in agreement on that. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Pick up the phone. Don't be bashful. Be bold. Be Bears bold. I want to hear from you about this football team on 670 The Score.